Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
It's Linda Aqua Jenna here with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. Today we have a returning guest. I'm happy to welcome back Tom Riley, Riley Consulting. Hi, Tom. Did you have a good weekend?
Hi, Linda. Yeah, I had a great weekend. It was a little bit quieter, but it's always good to have time to relax. How are you doing?
I'm all over the place. Nothing's going right this morning. Nothing's working, but I decided to have a cup of green tea and I'm feeling great now.
Tea always helps.
It does. I'm a Brit as well. So I love the topic we are going to talk about today, and I love the way you share your experiences and your thought processes. So today, I guess we're going to talk about the difference between influence and persuasion.
Yes, excellent. It's influence and persuasion are two very different things, and understanding the differences between them, how they operate, even the neuroscience behind them, and how they affect people differently, I think can help a lot of people who are in any position of influence, be it leadership or sales or any form of negotiations.
I agree, because a lot of salespeople try and persuade us to do something. So again, influencing and persuading are actually at two ends, aren't they? I mean, they're two totally different ways to sell, or, you know, ask somebody to do something.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, persuasion is what you'll often see on YouTube videos or TikToks, where someone is trying to use logic and argumentation to try and change someone's mind or overcome their objections or resistance or reactance to moving forward with a decision. And persuasion is affecting the person's emotions and their motivators so that they internally feel that they are making the decision. And, you know, some of the major differences are that persuasion is, you know, reaching the logical mind, the neocortex, our logical filter, whereas persuasion is affecting the emotions, the motivators, and people feel that when they're persuaded, they feel that the decision is coming from within them. It's their own emotions. It's their own motivators. They are feeling an internal drive to make these decisions, take these actions. Whereas when people are being persuaded, and we all been in this situation where I say, I don't want it because of this, and someone comes back with, you know, arguments against that, it's obvious that it's an external force that's trying to change your mind, and people can feel, you know, resistant to that, and they can often feel manipulated by that. And even if they go forward with that decision, they often have, you know, buyer's remorse, regret it, and feel that they were pressured into doing something they didn't want to do. Whereas with influence, it becomes something that they themselves do want to do, and they're happy with the decision, the emotions last longer, and it's just a better situation for the influencer and the person who's being influenced.
Okay, that's interesting. So Which one is the best one to choose if you're in sales? I mean, I don't think I'm a pushy salesperson. I don't like selling to anybody. I tend to say, well, you know, take some time to think about it, come back to it when you're ready. So is that influence them or persuading them?
Well, it could be either, you know, like, influence does take a higher degree of skill and is less common out in the world. Okay. Most people are taught, you know, talk tracks and scripts. And if they had raised this objection, say this to counter it, right? And that's persuasion. I like that you brought up the situation, you know, I need to think about it, because that is very, very common. And I think we all know, you know, when people say they have to go think about it, what they're actually doing is removing themselves from the pressure situation, the influencer, influencee situation, or being persuaded or not. And because people make decisions emotionally and then they justify them logically. And people like to remove themselves from the situation to see if what they're feeling about the decision persists. Yeah. Like right now, I'm talking to someone, they're, you know, persuading me, and I'm thinking, yeah, this could be a good thing to do. Maybe, you know, they're getting me excited. Well, I want to remove myself from that situation and see if tomorrow, the next day, do I still have those emotions or have they faded away?
Yeah, yeah. So if somebody is trying to pressure you into, you know, a sale, so are they trying to influence you or persuade you? To me, that's very scary when someone does that. But which one are they using? If they're trying to say, you know, it's best for you, you've got to sign now, this is the deal that you agreed to.
That's definitely persuasion. If the person's feeling pressured at all, it's persuasion. They know that this decision is coming from externally. Someone's trying to talk them into doing something that automatically raises resistance. Whereas if someone's skilled in influence, you're dealing with so persuasion, where we're talking to the higher parts of the brain, the neocortex, you know, the one that part that makes us human, functions in language, the outside of the brain, that wrinkly part. it's the last step so far in our brain's evolution. It's the newest part of the brain. Whereas persuasion affects the limbic region of the brain, which is a much older portion of the brain in our evolution. It's how we functioned without language for millions of years. The limbic region controls our emotions, controls our motivation, and controls our storage of long-term memories.
So you say that last bit you said, limbic, was it?
Yes, the limbic region.
Yeah, that's from many, many years ago when we were still evolving. Have I got that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so basically then, those early humans, did you say that's where we have more emotion, or did I get that bit wrong?
Well, it is the control center of or the regulator, really, of our emotions, of our motivation, and our storage of long-term memories. And it's a very instinctual part of our brain. It's nonverbal. But it's constantly taking cues from the environment around us. It's what kept us safe as, you know, a herd. It's what kept us, you know, made us aware of dangers in the environment, where we could get food. It's our emotional drivers. You know, if I could use a little example to maybe talk about the different parts and how decisions are made. You know, most of us have, you know, gone on a diet or wanted to exercise or something like that. And logically we say, you know, this eating this way is good for us and we know it. And then we walk into the kitchen and from within us just bubbles up from nowhere this need for chocolate. Right?
You know me well, Tom.
It just comes up. And someone could be standing there telling us, you know, eating well is good for you and yada, yada, yada has all these benefits. But inside us, we want that chocolate. That impulse, that emotion, that motivation is your limbic brain telling you this is what I want to do for a reward.
I'm with it. Now, we're talking about sales and business primarily, but health and wellness is one of my, you know, passions. I'm really into health and wellness in a big way. That a lot of my clients, you know, also are. So when we're trying to persuade or influence someone to do something good for their health and wellness, I would guess then that we have to persuade them gently, or would that be influence them gently?
You would have to influence them if you want long-ranging effects. You know, you can give them all the logical arguments you want, but when they want the chocolate, they want the chocolate. And then what happens is, once the limbic region, these emotions, which actually make the decision of what you're going to do, you know, you have that urge within you, and we all want something, and when we want it, we can justify it, we can make up reasons for it, but what it comes down to is we just want it. Right? We just want it. That part of our brain is nonverbal. It doesn't
But where health and wellness is concerned, in the modern day today, we have lots of different health practitioners. But you know, more and more today, where cancer is concerned, I'm very worried about AI. You know, influencing people that they don't need, say, the regular treatment, the treatment that the doctor would advise, whether it's, you know, some kind of chemo, some kind of medication, you know, losing weight. People today tend to be influenced more by artificial intelligence than the health professionals. And that worries me, Tom. So, again, I guess the AI is using both, isn't it? It's being influenced, I think, by somebody putting the information in there. And then it persuades you because we think artificial intelligence is clever and knows best. Would that be right?
Well, you know, AI can, you know, if it's programmed correctly, can leverage persuasion. It can also leverage influence. When we get into influence, we're really, really triggering people's motivating emotions. Right? It's not so much a logical argument as tapping into their own desires and motivators. So all people have emotional drivers. They all have decision triggers that are just fundamental to their personality, how they were brought up, their childhood. These all build factors into individuals as to why they decide what they decide and why they do what they do. And it's all linked into their emotions. So
it's really interesting. So in a sales kind of environment, a lot of people today, we're going to be going through a recession. We're just getting over the pandemic. In reality, really, it's caused a lot of problems. So in a sales kind of environment where a person has the customer, the would-be customer, has a choice of two different sales opportunities, should they go for the more expensive one? Should they go for the less expensive one? So in that case, I guess it's up to the two different salespeople to influence them as to the why. But if somebody really, really cannot afford the more expensive one, is it their emotions? What part of their brain is telling them, well, I can't afford that, so I'm going to go for the less expensive one?
Well, usually that would be their logical brain, but it can be their emotional brain too. Some people make decisions based on the return on investment or just out of, they only move forward with things if it's absolutely necessary. And that's when we're coming down to behavior analysis and individuals. But we've all bought things that were too expensive because we wanted them, right? So when we're coming to like a sales position, you know, now we get into a little bit of ethics. If someone really can't afford something, should I sell it to them? I would say no. And I think you'd agree. But when we're talking about like why people do things, let's say someone's shopping for a sports car, right? There can be all sorts of emotional drivers, depending on the individual, why they want a sports car. And if you can find that out and tap into it and help them fulfill that, then they're a very, very happy customer. Sure. So for example, you know, sports car, someone could want to appear powerful, so they get a sports car. Someone could like the latest and greatest thing all the time, and that's why they want this particular sports car. Someone could be very social and need acceptance from groups, and all of their friends have a sports car, and that's why they want a sports car.
Interesting. Right? So finding out the why, really, and how, like, so With my clients, I'm the one that says, I would love you to have some time to think about this. I send them away. Mm-hmm. And that evidently builds trust. They trust me then that I'm not pushing them into a sale. So I guess I'm influencing to trust me, am I, or persuading them to trust me? One of the two.
Oh, that will absolutely like lower their reactance. So lower their resistance, their pushback. Oh, absolutely. You know, I think I just posted a article about this. You know, always give people the opportunity to say no. Yeah. Because, yeah, if they feel you're trying to push them into it, then they're feeling like you're trying to persuade them. Reactance can go up. They can be more resistant. But if you leave that open for them, and if you've done a good job influencing them mm-hmm. instead of trying to persuade them, mm-hmm. then when they go back home and it's the day after or 2 days later and they're seeing if those emotions are still with them, if we've mm-hmm. influenced them properly, they will still have those emotions.
So in your case, in your case, this is probably the kind of things you use in your daily business life. You know exactly how our brain works, so mm-hmm. you probably are very successful with sales because you kind of can read the person better than, say, I would, because I don't know much about your brain other than we've got a brain, hopefully. But you seem very, very where did you
most of us do.
Where did you learn all about this? It's so interesting.
Oh, I've been studying this for years. I'm a certified neurocognitive behavior analyst. Wow. And the people who certified that on me are the same people who train the FBI to do the same thing.
Oh, my goodness, that's amazing. So you would be one of those people, and this is to do with your business because nobody wants to get scammed, do they? Who would probably spot a scam a mile away, whether it's in person or online, wouldn't you? Because that's what FBI people do, kind of deal, don't they?
Yeah, they're trained to quickly uncover people's, nonverbal behavior, their emotional drivers, their decision triggers, so that they can not only know, you know, what people are thinking and why they're thinking it, but also to influence them. So if you think of someone, going into a building and they have to contact the right person and get them to help them do something within 2 hours, mm-hmm. you know, these are the skills we're talking about. Yeah.
So this is an asset for you in your business. How do your clients know that you know all this? How can I say this? Because it will help them as well, won't it, being your client? Right. Because you can. So how can you help your clients with the knowledge you have about our brain and the influencing and persuasion? How does this help your clients down the line?
Oh, I teach them the same skills. So that and it helps them in their social life. It helps them in their business life. It's really about understanding people at a much deeper level. You know, we all present an image out in social mm-hmm. situations, mm-hmm. and behind that is, you know, a bit more of who we really are, the things we're trying to hide. And you know, the thing I really like about this is when you get into it, I find it quickly builds compassion.
Interesting. I wish more people in the corporate world knew all about this, because I think a bit more compassion is needed in the corporate world. I don't know about you.
Yeah. I mean, when you're developing these skills, you find, you know, first, oh, okay, you know, you walk into a room and you can see things you didn't see before and hear things you didn't hear before. But then you fairly quickly get to the point of, you know, not just seeing what motivates and drives people, but also seeing what they're scared of and how they were hurt. And it all goes back to childhood. And you know, you no longer see, you know, the big aggressive muscle man. You see the child who was maybe bullied or maybe pushed around, right? And that's where you really get into the compassion part, and you build space for people to, you know, be more authentic and maybe heal a bit. Mm-hmm. And when you can see what they really need, mm-hmm. you know, that's when, yeah, even if you're in a sales position, mm-hmm. If you can help people get what they really need, and what really makes them happy and what really makes them fulfilled, then that's when you have a customer for life. And that's what we really aim to teach. You know, it's seeing people on a deeper level, understanding them at a deeper level, having compassion for them, and helping them get what really makes them happy and fulfilled. And you know, most people's products or services can do that for a lot of people in the right way. And if you can't help them, then, you know, they'll be someone else's customers.
Yeah, refer them, to someone. So in your case, you do this for the corporate world. Do you just work with the corporate world, or do you work with, like, smaller groups of, you know, businesses that want more growth? What kind of clients, you know, do you work with mostly?
Yeah, so I work with a small, medium-sized business, and I work with individuals. Awesome. And some of those are just individual salespeople, financial advisors, lawyers, other people in areas of negotiation where they need to be able to really, you know, like you were saying, you know, see signs of deception, see signs of stress, see opportunities, right? And not only see them, but then be able to influence the other people properly and ethically, right, to reach mutually beneficial agreements and get stuff done. And in a situation where everybody's happy about it and people don't feel like they were persuaded to do something they didn't really want to do.
Now, I know that, you know, on a time frame this morning, you've got to dash off in a minute, but would you like to share an event? It sounds like a wonderful event that you are actually part of a team with, I think, Amy Ballantyne and Andrew Leith that's coming up, I believe, in a few weeks. Would you like to share some details before I let you go?
Yeah, sure. It's ExecU Growth. It's on April 29th. Information is available online if you search for Andrew Leith on LinkedIn, or myself, Tom Riley, on LinkedIn, or Google ExecU Growth. You should find it. So it's myself, Andrew Leith, Amy Ballantyne. We are coming together to really help ramp up people's sales and executive leadership, especially with all the changes that are happening right now. Really time to, you know, sharpen the axe, become more efficient, become a lot more competitive out in the market, especially if the market's shrinking. You know, it's not, you know, some people are just going to batten down the hatches and do same old, same old. Other people are going to adapt and do better.
And this is taking place in Waterloo region?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. All the information's online. So I want to thank you again. You open my mind. Every time I talk to you, my brain starts working and thinking and going, whoops, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something good? You explain it so well, which is why you are very successful. So if anybody wants to contact Tom, any of our listeners want to contact Tom, as Tom said, you can find him on LinkedIn. You can find him on the Small Business Community Network members directory. And it's been an absolute pleasure again, Tom. So you have a wonderful day, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks, Linda. Have a great day.